Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, that is your portal to help support us. Our team, our researchers, our editors, the travel costs, everything around the production of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, with all the cancellation and all the bad guys coming after people that are trying to tell the truth, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you are saying no to cancel culture. You are saying no to the digital assassins. You are saying yes to this program. And if you say to yourself, boy, I want millions of more people to listen to this program, I just wish my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, and more students would hear what this show has to say, that's where it all is made possible at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Look, a lot of you guys are wondering, how do I support Mike Lindell? A lot of you are asking me, he is so courageous. He's fighting. I want to be able to get behind Mike Lindell. Well, I've talked about MyPillow, and I could tell you that MyPillow will not go flat. You can wash and dry them as many times as you want, and they maintain their shape. They're made in America. But most importantly, for a lot of you, Mike Lindell is standing up for what is right. Did you know that MyPillow is being canceled by basically every company imaginable? Dollar General, Shop HQ, Mattress Firm, Kohl's, Kroger, BJ's, Wayfair, Bed Bath & Beyond, The Shopping Channel, HEB, Affirm, Finger Hut, Kinney, Drugs, Colony Brands, Bluestream, Coburn's, Chewy.com, JCPenney. What do all of them have in common? They all canceled Mike Lindell's pillow. All of them. So if you want to be able to support Mike Lindell against the cancellation culture, the tsunami, the hurricane of cancellations that Mike Lindell has to endure, all because he has decided to ask questions about voter integrity, then you guys can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. So here's what you do. Go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Kirk. Go buy a bunch of stuff. A lot of you ask, Charlie, how do I support the fighters? How do I support the guys, metaphorical fighters? How do I support the guys that go up and stand for truth? Well, I just listed a bunch of corporations that have canceled MyPillow. And you can go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Kirk. Buy a bunch of stuff, but make sure you use the promo code Kirk so they know our show sent you. If you want to stand for truth, with courage and conviction, and support those that do, go to MyPillow.com, buy a bunch of stuff, Giza, Dream Seats, all that good stuff, promo code Kirk. Do it now. Hey, everybody. Hope you're doing great. A lot happening in the country. If you guys want to email us your questions as things are happening, do so by emailing us freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast, I highly recommend it. Type in the Charlie Kirk Show podcast to your podcast provider and hit subscribe. The prosecution, the House impeachment managers, are continuing their case against Donald Trump. They are going through every single possible detail. The argument that they are making is that it was not as much what happened on January the 6th, but now they go back in time. They're saying it was a multi-month buildup that culminated on January the 6th. So that it wasn't as much incitement, but the argument they're making is that it was a conspiracy, that Trump was working an inside and outside with groups, outsider groups, using dog whistles and messages to mobilize a group to try to go take over the government. Now, the Democrats' argument is very weak in facts, but I'll be honest, it's very strong in emotion. The Democrats have disturbing footage that should move anybody. The Democrats have footage that is very difficult to watch of people literally being killed. And it is understandable that people will react emotionally to emotional footage. That's an understandable reaction. However, it was the Trump's defense team back on, what day is it, Tuesday, that really fumbled. The Trump defense team should have prepped the jury, the senators, for what was coming next. Not act all aloof and surprising. Oh, I don't know. That was a pretty good presentation. I don't know what got into them, but we're screwed. That basically was the opening remark. It's like, I don't think we're going to have much of a chance here. When the Trump defense team should have said, you are going to see some very emotional footage. You're going to see from the defense team arguments around the words unprecedented, never happened before. And we feel for the victims' families. But our client, the president, President Trump, former President Trump, is not connected to that in any way. The Trump defense should have been and still can be because they got a lot of time to make up for it. Trust me. Do they take the stand today or tomorrow? Not the stand, but tomorrow is number one. This is an unconstitutional impeachment. The Trump defense team should have turned around and said, oh, hey, Senator Leahy, how you doing? You don't look like John Roberts. Thanks for playing. Then they should have went right back to the Constitution and read that the Chief Justice shall preside over an impeachment. No Chief Justice, no impeachment. This is not an impeachment. This is a Senate show trial. Number two, the Trump defense team needs to focus on this idea of incitement. What does it mean to actually be guilty of incitement? What is the precedent behind incitement? What is it? What are the details around incitement? And what could possibly be exculpatory evidence when it comes to incitement? And finally, insurrection. Professor Alan Dershowitz contends that this was not an insurrection. He said that this was a mob gone wrong. He said that insurrection is a completely different legal threshold than a mob that goes in the wrong direction and starts trying to overtake a piece of property or so on and so forth. That's Alan Dershowitz making that argument. This House impeachment managers were struggling to get some of their facts straight yesterday. But I will say this. They generally made some strong emotional arguments. Let's go to Cut 75 of Senator Mike Lee calling to strike down the false statements in the impeachment trial. Cut 75.
Mr. President, that is not my motion. You've ruled on a motion. You've ruled on something that was not what I moved. What I asked was, statements were attributed to me repeatedly, as to which I have personal knowledge because I am the source. They are not true. I never made those statements. I asked that they be stricken. This has nothing to do with whether or not they're based on depositions, which they're not. It's simply based on the fact that I'm the witness. I'm the only witness. Those statements are not true, and I ask that you strike them.
So I think Senator Mike Lee was a judge at some point or wanted to be on the Supreme Court. He's a lawyer. No, I think his father's a judge or brother's a judge. Anyway, so what happened is that the House impeachment managers came to the floor and they were presenting, quote unquote, evidence that said Mike Lee said something he didn't say on a phone call with President Trump. So only Mike Lee would know that. So it doesn't matter who else would possibly be able to attest to it. It was a one-on-one phone call. Only Mike Lee would be able to attest to that. What's so disturbing is because the Senate impeachment trial is nothing like an American trial, it's just kind of this strange, meandering theater that was built for Broadway, you can't object to questionable evidence. And since you have a Democrat senator overseeing the entire process, when questionable evidence gets submitted, no one can object to it. Let's go to Cut 76. David Schoen, who's Trump's attorney, says the only chance he has an opportunity to respond to it is on television the night of, not in the actual courtroom. Cut 76.
So they would be thrown out of the courtroom for showing this video. None of this stuff would be admissible in any kind of court of law. That's part of the due process issue. I don't know if you saw today when Senator Mike Lee stood up and objected that they falsely attributed to him statements that he never made. And he made an objection, and the whole place sort of blew up in a hullabaloo. And finally, the House manager, Congressman Raskin, said that they would withdraw it for now and check their sources. He said he thinks their source, the media, and I think the Washington Post, he might have said. But if you look at their videos and the clips they show, some sources are reportedly, other are sources said. They have hearsay on hearsay on hearsay.
And so hearsay on hearsay on hearsay. And so what's so incredible about this entire ordeal is the Democrats want nothing to do with fairness. Cut 89 and 90 are great examples of this. Let's go to cut 89, then cut 90.
He said there were, quote, very fine people on both sides when the neo-Nazis, the Klansmen, and Proud Boys invaded the city, the great city of Charlottesville, and killed Heather Heyer.
It's not true. This evidence would be thrown out of courtroom because Trump's team would have said, objection, that's not what he said. My client said this. Play tape.
And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides. And you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally. But you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay?
This is one of the greatest lies that has gone unchecked. This is one of the greatest lies that has continued. President Trump said it firmly. Other people outside of the neo-Nazis and white supremacists, they should be condemned. Pretty simple, pretty blunt, pretty obvious. And so the Democrats are not running a trial here. They're calling it a trial. It's an act of Broadway is all that it is. It's Hollywood. It's pre-scripted. It's edited. It's rehearsed. And in cut 77, there was an objection, and then they withdrew the evidence. Cut 77.
The impeachment manager, Mr. Cicilline, correctly and accurately quoted a newspaper account, which the distinguished senator has taken objection to, so we're happy to withdraw it.
It's not true, and it's
on the grounds that it is on the grounds that it is not true.
So what else is not true then? He admits that it's not true. That maybe something that was written in a newspaper article is not true. It just so happens had an opportunity to be called out because Mike Lee is the witness. So in a stunning turn of events, we have jurors that are now witnesses that are acting as judges. You have one man, Mike Lee, who's a juror, who's a witness, and then is a judge and says this is not permissible evidence. Have you ever seen anything like this? So it makes you wonder as we're watching the press, the live stream, what other evidence are they presenting that might not be true? It's what happens when you rush into an impeachment. You don't get an opportunity to filter things that might be untrue. With the ever-increasing numbers of Fiat, Kia, and models Pacifica XT5, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning about your car? I know more than you. Take a pause and take ownership of your auto future. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that then you could use for other more important things like mortgages or food. Why would you then choose to spend 30%, 50%, 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? Here's what you got to do. RockAuto.com. Because chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics than do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com is a family business. They serve auto part customers online for 20 years. So go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifically, and also prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same professionals at do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much on all the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Charlie Kirk in there. How did you hear about us? Box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Tucker.com. Tucker Carlson had a series of segments last evening that have gone viral where he's just asking questions, facts, none of the things out of which are being discussed at the Senate Broadway musical known as We Hate the Man Who's Golfing at Mar-a-Lago. Let's go to Cut 84 of Tucker Carlson asking questions. He's coming under a lot of fire for this. Cut 84.
Five Americans died on the Capitol grounds on January 6th. You've heard that. You hear it incessantly, including from Republican office holders. Five dead. But that doesn't really tell you very much. It's the details, as always, that matter. Who were these people and how did they die? That's how you understand what actually happened. So with that in mind, here are the facts as of tonight. Four of the five who died that day were Trump supporters. The fifth was a Capitol Hill police officer who apparently also supported Donald Trump.
Go to Cut 85, he continues.
The first among them was the 34-year-old woman from Georgia called Roseanne Boyland. Authorities first announced that Boyland died of a, quote, medical emergency. Later video footage suggested she may have accidentally been trampled by the crowd. We're still not sure. That's the best guess. The second casualty was 55-year-old Kevin Greeson. Greeson died of heart failure while talking to his wife on a cell phone outside the Capitol. Quote, Kevin had a history of high blood pressure, his wife later said, and in the midst of the excitement, he suffered a heart attack.
Cut 86.
The third was 50-year-old Benjamin Phillips of Ringtown, Pennsylvania. Phillips was a Trump supporter who organized a bus trip to Washington for the rally that day. He died of a stroke on the grounds of the Capitol. The fourth person to die, the only person to die that day of intentional violence, was 35-year-old Ashley Babbitt, a military veteran from San Diego. Babbitt was wearing a Trump cape when she was shot to death by a Capitol Hill police lieutenant. Babbitt was shot as she tried to crawl through a broken window into the speaker's lobby within the Capitol. And that's essentially the extent of what we know.
And then Cut 87 is the story that we are not getting an answer to, which is how did Officer Brian Sychek die? Cut 87.
Capitol Hill police officer beaten to death with a fire extinguisher by a white supremacist mob. It's horrifying. And that is the story they were telling. It's a story they still are telling. But in fact, the story they told was a lie from beginning to end. According to an exhaustive and fascinating new analysis on Revolver News, there's no evidence that Brian Sicknick was hit with a fire extinguisher at any point during the day. None. The head of the Capitol Police Union has said he had a stroke. No cause given. More than that, we still don't know. Sicknick's body was cremated immediately. Authorities have refused to release his autopsy. No one has been charged in his death. No charges are pending.
So we still don't know how he died. And none of this, by the way, none of the facts that Tucker shared makes any of the deaths any less tragic. But it does add context, detail to the narrative. To someone who that doesn't know better, it sounds like the Trump mob killed five people. It sounds like the Trump mob killed five Capitol Hill police staffers, killed five Capitol Hill police. When according to that report, it was the mob itself who died. Still tragic, still terrible. It's not excusable. It's not anything we should tolerate, but it's completely different than the narrative that was portrayed and put forward. The Democrats are continuing now as Diana DeGette is giving her speech on the House floor to now try and say that Donald Trump's reaction to what happened on the Capitol also makes him culpable. As we detailed in the last couple of days, this is really about preventing a robust conversation around voter integrity from ever happening again. This is about trying to lay the groundwork for another security police state. And also, it is camouflage and smokescreen so that Democrats don't actually have to govern in our country, so that Democrats don't actually have to pass meaningful legislation, so that Democrats don't actually have to have the tough legislative fights. In times of crisis, you can get very big spending bills, massive points of government overreach passed. Times of crisis allow and afford the opportunity for totalitarians to take power. in times of chaos and crisis, you're able to do things you otherwise would not have been able to do. As Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste. So if they have the appearance that we're under a crisis with the National Guard, then what are they going to try to do? The answer is all of it, because you won't be looking. And that's when the theft occurs. We're all looking for ways to save money, right? Especially now. So let me ask you this. How do you like to keep an extra $961 a year in your pocket? That's how much Gabby customers save per year, on average, on car and home insurance. That's why when I was shopping for insurance, I use Gabby, G-A-B-I. This is the time of year we go shopping for insurance. Well, Gabby, G-A-B-I, takes the pain out of shopping for insurance by giving you apples-to-apples comparison of your current coverage with 40 of the top insurance providers, like Progressive, Nationwide, and Travelers. Just link your current insurance account, and in just minutes, you'll be able to see quotes for the exact same coverage you currently have. That's what I did. Gabby is amazing. People that use it are just so excited. G-A-B-I. Like I mentioned earlier, Gabby customers save $961 per year on average. I bet that'd be nice to have in your pocket every year. If they can't find you savings like they did for me, they'll let you know so you can relax knowing you have the best rate out there. And they'll never sell your information, so no annoying spam or robocalls. You're probably already overpaying on car and home insurance. See how Gabby can save you. It's totally free to check, and there's no obligation. Go to Gabby.com/Charlie. That's Gabby.com/Charlie. Gabby.com/Charlie. I've never seen The Mandalorian. I have watched Star Wars. I enjoy Star Wars. In fact, I think I can name every single one of them. Phantom Menace, Clone Wars. See, the third one always escapes me. I'll get to it. I'll think of it. New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, and then the last three ones that I can't remember. Force Awakens. They all have these very generic titles towards the end. Anyway, do like Star Wars. Love the archetypes. Enjoy the character trajectory. All right, here it is. Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, The Rise of Skywalker. And then they have all these other ones that I haven't seen, which are these kind of spin-offs. I'm never a big spin-off guy. I loved Breaking Bad, but Better Call Saul just didn't do it for me. Just never, like, the spinoff thing never really does it for me. They now say they're going to have a prequel to Game of Thrones. All right. Why don't you go create another Game of Thrones that's, like, better? The prequel thing, it just, you're kind of living off the power source. It's not a fan. Anyway, so this Mandalorian thing, what's a Mandalorian about anyway? Is that Baby Yoda? So the Mandalorian, which is supposed to be something that's very popular. Oh, our producers are really blowing me up now. Producer Andrew says, The Mandalorian is my favorite thing I've seen from them in a long time. It's very good, admittedly. Boba the Hutt. Is that not Boba the Hutt? Jabba. Jabba the Hutt. Baba is the bounty hunter. Is that right? No? No, that's, think of it. I'll think of that. Okay, so back on Tatooine, we have, see, I got that reference right. Okay, so there's a story that's come up, and I always get extra curious when I read these very outrageous headlines, because I think to myself, is the cancellation digital assassination crew, are they being fair? So there's a story that I read on Yahoo yesterday, and it said, Disney's The Mandalorian star, Gina Carano, fired by Lucasfilm amid social media controversy. Now, the way that the activist media is portraying what she said is awful. I read the headlines. I said, boy, who could possibly support that? For example, Deadline, whatever that is, their headline is, Lucasfilm calls Gina Carano. Oh, I have to go look at an ad now before I can read this. Okay. Gina Carano social media post abhorrent. Actress no longer with it. No longer with Mandalorian. I'm going to read just some of these headlines. Lucasfilm fires the Mandalorian star after offensive social media posts. And so she's pretty well-liked. The people that follow the Mandalorian are actually standing up for her and are pointing out the double standard. But let's go into what she said. Was it abhorrent? I'm going to read what she said. She said, quote, in an Instagram story, Jews were beaten in the streets, not by National Socialist worker soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children, because history is edited. Most people today don't realize that to get to the point where a National Socialist worker soldier could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them for simply being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone from their political views? She wrote that on Instagram. Now, is it a little spicy? Yeah. Is it a completely logical point? Not totally. But I get where she's going here. I mean, she's in the space of kind of a loud political discourse. She wasn't anti-Semitic here. She was pro-Jew in this post. She said it was wrong that Jews were getting turned in. Was she making a point that is completely bulletproof? No, she wasn't. Because discriminating from political views is not necessarily the same thing as turning in your neighbor to go to a concentration camp. But to defend her, if I was in the business of defending Hollywood stars, and I think she's a conservative, so I'm happy to defend her, she was trying to make the argument that when you start to other people, which is what happened in Germany, then all of a sudden, how do we not go down that very same road? That's a very mainstream, popular argument. There's a small little book that is read by almost every single kid in school now called How to Kill 7 Million People or How to Kill 9 Million People. And it's only about 20 pages. And it goes through this where it says one of the first things you do is you turn neighbor against neighbor. You break those binds. It's a pretty well-accepted argument. And she also said something that's factually true. Neighbors did turn in their Jewish neighbors. That's true. How is that abhorrent? It's abhorrent. Well, first of all, they've been waiting for a reason to fire her for quite some time. She's a conservative. They don't like her. Fine. But it's also abhorrent in their mind because she's saying that there's persecution of conservatives. That was her crime here. Her crime was dare saying that something bad is happening to conservatives. Because they know she's a conservative, and she's now trying to say that if we continually politically discriminate, bad things are going to happen. Was she a little bit alarmist? Maybe. Is this an argument that's made all the time in conservative circles? All the time. All the time. Why? Because when something bad happens, we immediately reach for the worst thing we know, 1930s National Socialist Worker Germany. That's fine. Do I think that there's a lot of similarities between the show trial, the propaganda, of what's happening today in National Socialist Worker 1930 Germany? Oh, yes, I do. Would I fire her over something like this? No. Would I ask her? Absolutely not. Would I ask her to maybe add another story and say, look, here's the broader point I'm making, that when authoritarians and totalitarians start to encourage discrimination against people based on their political views, it can lead a direction I don't like. That's all she had to say. And when the reason this is happening and the reason it doesn't happen to other celebrities is because Alec Baldwin, Snoop Dogg, Kathy Griffin, and Madonna, they purchase woke insurance. And you might say, what is woke insurance? I know about life insurance. I know about jewelry insurance. I know about home insurance. I know about car insurance. I know about boat insurance. I know about flood insurance. I know about travel insurance. What is woke insurance? Woke insurance is building up your good social credit score in the minds of the wokestan wokesters, the people that run Hollywood, going to the right fundraisers, tweeting the right awful things at Trump, building up the right credibility so that when you say something off color, the woke people will defend you. That's woke insurance. I used to call it progressive insurance, but then it sounds too much like that annoying woman that keeps on having those TVs on TV. Flo, or whatever her name is. Worst commercials ever. Geico. Good commercials. Very thoughtful. What's the one where it's you're afraid you're turning into your parents? Is that progressive? I don't think it is. Whatever commercial that is, phenomenal. One of the best I've seen. Anyway, Alec Baldwin says things that are so anti-gay that if I said them, I would be off every terrestrial radio station across the country. If I read what he said, I'd be taken off the terrestrial radio stations. Snoop Dogg, in a video, shows himself shooting the president of the United States. Kathy Griffin holds up a dismembered head of the president. She still has a Twitter account. Madonna blows up, wants to blow up the White House. They all have untouched careers. Alec Baldwin is more relevant than ever. It's hilarious. They were going to give Alec Baldwin a show on MSNBC, I think at 11. And then Ben Shapiro, when he was running Truth Revolt, came out with all the anti-gay stuff. And they actually canceled him. It's hilarious. It was like 8 or 9 years ago. A lot of people don't remember it. Brian Williams. He might as well be J.R.R. Tolkien. He just makes stuff up. I saw bodies floating in the river. I was there on the beaches of Iwo Jima. The guy made up everything. Why does he get a job at MSNBC? After the appropriate time to think about it? Because he purchased woke insurance. When you do the right things in the eyes of the masters of Wokistan, which is a short – the term woke, by the way, means so belligerently and militantly leftist that there's no other word to describe it, that you are in the business of advancing ideas that are the opposite of what's good for the country. Critical race theory, transgender, nonsense, all that stuff. So now this woman, Gina Carano, her career is over for saying something that quite honestly – could have been better said, but it's not racist. It's not bigoted. It's not any of those things. I'm just saying the point is not that logical. If we now fire people for not making logical points, there would be nothing but white noise on MTV all day. Nothing. There would be no programming. What about all the rappers that were saying all the anti-Semitic stuff? We can get the examples of that. The examples go on and on and on. They are going after her, not but because what she said, but because they saw her as a conservative annoyance to their left-wing power structure. But by the way, it's okay for ABC, owned by Disney, to go on television and call Donald Trump Hitler. That's fine. But the rest of it, not so much. And Gina Carano is just the latest casualty in a trigger-happy digital assassination mob gone wrong. Let's get to some questions here. Hey, Charlie, first-time writer. I'm extremely concerned about H.R. 1 passing in the House of Representatives and possibility of Republicans never being able to get into power with universal vote by mail in all 50 states. What has to happen for this to be permanently part of the law? What could be done to prevent this from happening? How can Congress dictate how each state conducts their elections? The answer is they can't. They shouldn't be, but they're going to try to add funding, which what Congress controls the purse, to say that they're going to offer to these states to do universal vote by mail. That's basically how they're going to get around it. And if we do not have state legislatures or governors that are standing up against this, then they're going to pull it off. It's going to be tough with Manchin and Sinema breaking the filibuster rule on this, but it seems like there's the support. They already passed it in the House of Representatives. To give you an idea, with a 7-seat majority, they already passed H.R. 1. It's extraordinary. Let's get to some more sound here. Let's go through cut 68 of David Schoen saying they want to put us this through what? This was him speaking a couple days ago. This is a good argument. Play 68.
They want to put you through a 16-hour presentation over 2 days, focusing on this as if it were some sort of blood sport. And to what end? For healing? For unity? For accountability? Not for any of those, for they surely there are much better ways to achieve each. It is again for pure, raw, misguided partisanship that makes them believe playing to our worst instincts somehow is good. They don't need to show you movies to show you that the riot happened here. We will stipulate that it happened, and you know all about it. This is a process fueled irresponsibly by base hatred by these House managers and those who gave them their charge, and they are willing to sacrifice our national character to advance their hatred and their fear that one day they might not be the party in power. They have a very different view of democracy and freedom from Justice Jackson.
Well said. I'm looking forward to him speaking tomorrow to start to clarify some of this. In the couple minutes I have remaining, I want to go through one of the worst governors in America and one of the best governors in America. Governor Gavin Newsom is going to face a recall fight, everybody. Now, that's what's so funny about this. I can't wait. The recall Gavin Newsom people are going to submit all their signatures. And then do you know what's going to happen? No, the recall's not going to happen immediately. Governor Gavin Newsom and his team of union people, I was going to say thugs, but that's probably too aggressive, but they are kind of union thugs, the teacher union thugs. Well-financed, you know what they're going to do? They are going to go to a judge and they're going to say, we want to be able to check all the signatures for fraudulent signatures. Oh, I can't wait for Gavin Newsom to do that. I can't wait for Gavin Newsom to go say that there are faulty and fake and fraudulent and out of state and mailed in signatures for his own recall. Please, Gavin Newsom, do that. Please. I'm begging you, Gavin Newsom, go hire a bunch of attorneys and go sue the recall Newsom people and say that this is done fraudulently. We have to do signature verification. Okay, Gavin, thank you for making our point, man. Please go do that. I would love to see it. But it's going to happen. Gavin Newsom is going to be put on the ballot for a recall effort. Good. Citizens, according to the original Greek, are co-rulers, and that is how the founding fathers always envisioned it. But now probably the best governor in America, Governor Ron DeSantis, who now can proudly say the Super Bowl champions, they hosted a Super Bowl successfully. You got Tom Brady. The economy's open. 0% income tax. You're suing tech companies. It's a good place to be. And I'll be there actually for a couple weeks coming up here. Let's play Cut 78, Governor Ron DeSantis just slamming the media. Play Cut 78.
The media is worried about that, obviously. You guys really love that. You don't care as much if it's a, quote, peaceful protest, and then it's fine. You don't care as much if they're celebrating a Biden election. You only care about if it's people that you don't like. So I'm a Bucks fan. I'm damn proud of what they did on Sunday night.
Governor Ron DeSantis, everybody, is showing the country what conservative leadership looks like. God bless him. Everyone, please subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit subscribe. Give us a 5-star review and email it to us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We'd love that, and we'd love to give you a signed copy of our book. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com to start a high school group or a college group. And finally, if you'd like to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.